Well, now, just realized I've been talking. Welcome to the Drive to Stay Alive. I just realized that I've been talking for the last 15 minutes and had yet to push the record button until now. Brilliant. So this is going to be a little bit shorter episode, obviously, because I'm halfway to work, but basically, I didn't intend to record this episode. I was walking out the door and I saw the recording device and I'm like, let me grab my thoughts down, because today is one of the worst days of my entire year. The worst day of my year is usually, well, it's now April 25th, which is the anniversary of Tim's death. So that causes me to reflect and all that kind of stuff. So today probably is the second worst. And that's because we just got home from Afterglow on Saturday, just this past Saturday. We go up last full week of July, Saturday through Saturday. When we come home, we leave Saturday morning around 10 a.m. And that day is a sad day because you're leaving Afterglow. But at least in your mind, you're saying, you know, at least we were there today. We were at Afterglow this morning. You still feel like you were just there, because you were just there. Sunday, you're kind of feeling a hangover from Afterglow. With just the amount of raging and being outside and swimming and hanging out in the sun and just not sleeping and shit. Like, you're just so hungover from the week that you just don't have the time to really think about missing it, because you're just like, I'm just, well, at least speaking of me personally, I'm sitting here going like, man, I'm just so damn tired. I don't have time to think about anything at all. So which leads to then today, Monday, the Monday after Afterglow. This is the second worst day of my entire year, because on this day, I have to go back to work. And I have to go back to the Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 grind that everybody fucking complains about so much. And just to add an extra layer onto this, you'll hear from my voice that I'm sick. And so that doesn't help matters out at all. But even if I were feeling 100% like healthy, I still would be sad. Because at Afterglow, you could sit in your cabin all week long, never leave, and just sleep the whole week and have an incredible vacation, just because that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to sit and rest and like recuperate, and that's totally fine. Or you could go swimming all day, every day, be out kayaking in the boats. You could be like running around outside, like throwing a frisbee and fishing, and you know, just stay as active as possible, riding bikes and taking hikes around the lake, and you know, just crazy activities and everything, and you can have the greatest week ever. Or you could do like me and just kind of do like a little bit of both, some relaxation also coupled with some incredible fun. But that's the thing about it, is you can just do whatever the hell you want. You wake up in the morning and it's like, you don't feel like going outside today? Then don't fucking go outside today. If you feel like swimming at 8 in the morning, or then do it. If you don't feel like doing it till 8 at night, then do it then. But it basically is, it's living the perfect life. It's living the dream. It's existing in paradise. It's life as you always wanted it. And coming home from that and not being able to have that anymore, it's just like, I compare it to like the Catholic Christian belief of heaven, where it's just like you suffer through life because there's some kind of reward at the end. And say you suffer 90 years of your life. You know, there's some good times, there's some bad times. But you figure, when all's said and done, I'm going to go to heaven. And, like, everything's going to be okay. So imagine at the end of that, you get to heaven. And after a week, they say, like, no, what, never mind. Sorry, you have to leave. You only get 1 week of this. Well, while not as comparable, it's still comparable to a point, because it's like, I spend the whole year with these ups and downs, with these just like, you know, a lot of shit going on in my life and just a lot of like negativity and whatever. And I spend 51 weeks out of the year, and I can't wait for that 52nd week at Afterglow, where everything's perfect. And then, now is week one. Everybody, I know everybody, the calendar year says, you know, January 1st starts week one, but not for me. This is now week one. I know it's going to be another 50-some weeks until I get up there again. So right now I'm looking ahead a year going, it's going to be a year till I get that feeling again. And I wish it didn't drag me down so much. Like, we call it the Afterglow Blues. Just being back in a normal world and normal society. Back to normal life. Like, we don't like it, obviously. But the whole point of this is that Afterglow is so amazing. Afterglow is so perfect. But it's also coming to the realization that Afterglow isn't just a place. Afterglow is also a state of mind. It's a feeling. It is a way of life. It's an attitude. So there has to be a way to figure out how to live your life in the afterglow when you're not physically there. And I'm going to try to figure out a way to do that. Unfortunately, looks like we're only going to get like 10 minutes into this, because I'm stupid, I'm sick, and got this cloud of haze going on, like, barely hear anything, barely see anything, feel like absolute shit. And so, like, like an idiot, didn't press the goddamn record button. But, hell, it happens, right? Everybody does stupid shit. And so I missed out on a lot of the things that, well, I said them out loud, but didn't capture them here. A lot of my better ideas. But it's the way of life, man. You make mistakes, and you just got to go from there. So what I'm going to do, just about at work, go to work, put in my 9-to-5, hate it, and then we'll get back to you later this afternoon, and we'll try to figure out what the hell we can do to make life more like it was last week and less like it is every other week of the year. So therein lies the question, therein lies the challenge, but it's something that we have to be willing to face. So we'll catch up with you in just a bit. All right, later. All right, technically, I think this is a continuation of an episode of The Drive to Stay Alive. As you just heard, probably 10 minutes of something that I recorded well over 2 weeks ago, almost 2.5 weeks ago at this point. And the reasoning behind that is that the whole theme of this episode was supposed to be about the Afterglow Blues. And as previously maybe discussed, but I'll rehash it again because 2 weeks is a long time and I couldn't possibly remember, you know, what the hell I was talking about back then. But Afterglow, where we go on vacation, is just the greatest place ever. I don't really need to go into too much detail about why, because chances are if you're listening to this podcast, you have been on my website or you know me personally and have heard me talk about it. So coming back home from Afterglow is one of the single most depressing days of my entire year. And it's one of the hardest things to do is to kind of get reacclimated to real life outside of, you know, the paradise and 1 week of just blissful joy that is Afterglow. And so I guess I'll just go into the last 2 weeks of my life, which have pretty much been a living hell. So we start, you know, get home from Afterglow. Maybe it's almost 3 weeks now. Today's date is like, I think, August 15th. And we got back like the 27th. So yeah, almost, it'll be 2 weeks, or 3 weeks this Saturday. But yeah, like about 2.5 weeks. So, first off, I mean, like I said, coming home from Afterglow, that's pretty much when I'm at my lowest. Is like when I have to like go back to work, go back to real life, and you know, just look at the calendar and realize how many days in the future the next Afterglow is, which is in the, you know, mid 300s of number of days. And that's insanely difficult for me. And a calendar year goes by pretty fast. But still, I know by the next time I get up to Afterglow, I'm going to be like 33 years old. So it's like, I'm not getting any younger in my life. And Afterglow is getting less and less fun as the years go by. So everybody gets older, you know, there's no Timmy anymore. And, you know, some people can't make it up there every, you know, the whole week. You know, some people can't make it at all, like James and Melissa and Brian couldn't make it at all this year. So shit like that happens as we get older. And that really sucks. So already I'm looking at Afterglow going like, it was as good as it's ever gonna be, like years ago, and now it's just kind of like on the decline. So already right there, it's not as good as it was, so that makes me sad. Coming home going like, all right, you know, 350 some days until the next Afterglow, but it's still not gonna be great. It's still just gonna be like, yeah, you know, it's Afterglow. So with every passing year, it just gets more depressing coming home, knowing that last year's was a better year than the next year's gonna be. So there's that. That's pretty much all I'll talk about Afterglow, even though this episode will most likely be entitled The Afterglow Blues. But that's because I've had nearly a 3 week hangover from Afterglow. Just of sadness, I guess. So then I got sick on the last day of Afterglow. And just like your common cold, I guess. Just that kind of shit. Nothing terribly serious until the next malady hit me, I guess. So already I'm feeling the sadness in my head and in my heart for not being at Afterglow. And then my cold was only so bad to the point where I was coughing, had a sore throat, mucus kind of like in my lungs or whatever like that. So when I was like breathing, I had that kind of raspy, like, like not like creepy like that. That was a little creepy. But more of the, I guess, like, when I breathed, it was difficult to breathe because I just had some kind of, like, fluid in there. And it's kind of pretty much made life difficult. So I dealt with that for a week. So first it was a week of, so the first week was a week of depression and a week of sickness. And then the second week comes around. And going on a week and 2 days ago, I woke up with some intense, like, lower back pain. And it prevented me from moving. Like, the pain was just so incredible that I just couldn't do anything. I was more or less like paralyzed by this pain. And I called in sick to work for 2 days. And for these 2 days, I just sat at home, just like hurting. And it was awful. It was pretty much as awful as it can get. And in the week or so, a week plus since that incident, I've had 2 visits to urgent care. First one, not so good, where they just like gave me some medication. Second one, they gave me medication as well, but they kind of maybe diagnosed the injury a little more. Or maybe kind of gave me reasons or kind of more, I guess, outlook, more positivity as to how long this thing's gonna last and, you know, what it really is and how to make it better. So I'm kind of heading in the right direction. And as I speak on today, I have another doctor's appointment at 3 o'clock. But the other thing is that I've been also visiting a chiropractor who at first it didn't seem like anything was helping. I could just be in pain every day and just kind of all be sore and everything. And I think it's working a little bit. I guess I would say it's not like a magical fix, but it's helping more than it's hurting, I guess. So I'm gonna just keep doing it. But I don't know if anybody out there has ever had just like back pain, but I think it's pretty much the worst. Like, I can't imagine too much else just like being that awful. Just because everything you do involves your back. Like, whether like when you're walking, when you're sitting down, when you're like trying to pick something up, your back, I mean, it's the center of your body. So, like, try to do something else. Like, try to do something without the use of your back. Like, you really can't. Even if, like, say, like, you reach your arm up, everything's kind of connected to each other. And so, like, you still are utilizing your back in some way. So it's like, I can't move without feeling pain. And I don't know if this is a direct result of that. Well, probably has something to do with it. But the fact that, like, I can't sleep, like, laying down, just because of the fact that, like, if I lay down, I can't get back up out of bed as I stiffen up and I just hurt so much. And the only time I do not feel pain is either when I'm sitting down or when I'm laying down. And what happens then is that if I sit down or lay down for a long period of time, my body stiffens up, my joints and my back and everything like that, making it harder for me to get up. So I'm faced with this predicament. Like, the longer I sit and the longer I like lay down, the less pain I have at that moment, but the more pain I'll have in the future when I try to move once again. So it's just, every day it's just a really like difficult struggle with how much can I bear? Like, how much pain can I tolerate? And almost kind of like sacrificing right now for the greater good. The only way I'm going to get better from this, there's no kind of medication that can help me out. Right now, there's no surgery because it's not that serious. I mean, as far as back issues goes, yeah, I'm thinking this is the worst pain I've ever been in my entire life. And it is. I'm not lying when I say that. But as far as back injuries go, this is pretty mild. So, I mean, I don't even want to know what, like, real back injuries are like. If this is the kind of, like, little brother of those ones. I don't want to see what this is going to grow up to be. So, I mean, surgery is not an option yet because it's not at that stage where it's, you know, if it's chronic and, you know, lasts, like, you're going to last your whole life, yeah, you're probably going to watch surgery for it, but that's not at that stage right now. So, the only way this is going to get better is for me to, like, be active and to move and to stretch and to kind of, you know, because those muscles are all tightened up. So I need to move those muscles around in order to, I guess, stretch them out, like to get them in fluid movement again. I don't know, like, this is medical mumbo jumbo, but that's basically it. So it's like I have to suffer through the pain in order to make everything better again. And so that's an extremely difficult concept for me to grab a hold of, just because, like, it's like, wait, so you mean if I sit here and don't move, I don't hurt? But if I move, I hurt, but in the end, like, you know, I'm gonna feel better? So it's like, how much pain can you subject yourself to in order to look in the future and just be like, someday I'll be better? It's a really hard thing to do because you're not getting any immediate reward. It's akin to, I guess, like the whole belief of heaven and all that kind of stuff, where it's like, well, if I suffer all throughout life, you know, in the end, you know, I'll be okay. I'll get the ultimate reward. But it's like, since you never can really see that reward, it's hard to kind of keep living a good life. It takes a lot of will. It takes a lot of, like, strength, I guess. Not just of, like, the body, but also the heart and the mind. Like, every day I just have to push myself going, like, all right, to just keep going, just keep doing this. And I from what I understand, that's it's what I'm doing is I'm rehabbing, I guess. I'm rehabbing my body. And a lot of people who say, like, you know, break both legs or, like, get involved in, like, a really serious accident or for whatever reason have to learn how to, say, like, walk again or learn how to do something again. Like, the rehab is really hard because it hurts so much, you see so little progress, and you just want to quit. Because you're just like, this is too difficult, I can't do this. But you have to somehow tell yourself that you can do it and that you can keep, like, moving on. So that's kind of where I am right now, just, you know, trying to really not think too much in the future, because there's so much in the future right now that's out of my control, where I'm just like, can I be pain-free again? I don't know. Like, I'm not there yet. There's so many little things that I need to work out right now. So many things that, like, I have to, I guess, make myself believe and make myself think and do before I get to a point where I'm ever, like, semi-normal again. Because what I've been living the last week and a half is so not normal. And it's like, it would be one thing if while I was, see for instance, like I'm at work, thankfully I have a desk job in this case. It hasn't been so kind to me as far as my overall health goes. Like I'm not active enough in my life. And so the desk job is slowly killing me. But in this case, for this last week and a half, it's been a godsend because as long as I'm seated, I could do my work and be all right. And, or at least I can make myself get through work. And then when I go home, then pretty much just sit around and do the same. But the problem is at work, like it takes a lot to get through the day. Just as far as every ounce of strength, I guess, I use just to kind of like get myself through a day. And the thing that's been really upsetting me, so basically I've just been like quote unquote bedridden. And this would have been an opportune time to catch up on a lot of shit. Like I'm, you know, everything on my website I'm behind on. Could write new daily burner articles. I can, you know, work on podcasts. I can upload things to Facebook. I could, there's, well, last week I was working on the CD. I was working on everything for the Rage for Timmy concert that we had on August 10th. So last week I did stay pretty busy as far as like what I should have, little projects that I should have been doing. So at least that I did stay active in my other endeavors last week while I was, you know, incapacitated. But this week, not so much. And it really sucks because it's like, if I'm gonna be sitting at home by myself, I wanna be productive. I wanna like make something of it. I wanna not let that time go to waste. And that's kind of what I feel like has been happening this week. And granted, I'm just so, I'm hurting, and I'm just so incredibly exhausted that I can barely do anything. So I have a reason, I have an excuse, if you will, like, and it still doesn't make me feel any better. Just that I'm to the point or it's like, I'm so tired. Like, I wish I could just sleep for like 2 days and then wake up pain-free. Like, it's just so incredibly challenging just to not even live a normal, see, right now I'm not even living a normal day. A normal day would involve me, like, at least, like, walking around, like, going out, and, you know, even if I was gonna stay home, I'd be doing more things at home. Like, I'm not even living a normal life right now. I'm living, like, half of a normal life. So even living half of a normal life is causing me such pain. Like, I'm so upset, so frustrated, and just so sick and so tired of all this shit. Like, it's just, I want to so badly just break down and just quit, just give up on everything. Like, I don't have the best way to describe it. It's just an utter sense of like failure and helplessness and then just like loneliness. Like I just feel like I can't do anything. And I can't do anything on my own. And I'm just kind of worthless, I guess. It's like I can't even like properly take care of myself right now. And I guess, I mean, everybody gets to that, you know, those stages in their life where they need other people. I mean, like, life is so ridiculously challenging and so hard. You can't do it on your own. There's a reason that you're born into a family with, like, you know, parents that love you and brothers and sisters. And there's a reason you form friendships and you have coworkers that, you know, you're nice to and stuff like that. And, like, if you could be a total asshole and just shut everybody out your whole life and everything, and you're gonna be alone and when you need people and everything like that. But I don't. I mean, like, there's a reason why, like, you help when somebody else says, like, hey, can you help me out with this? And you say yes, you know, because you know there's gonna be some point in your life where you're gonna need that person's help. So you help others so they will help you. So I get that right now, that like I'm at the stage where it's like I need other people to help me out, but I don't have to like it. I definitely don't like it. I don't like not being able to do my own dishes or can't put my own socks on or tie my shoes. Like it makes me feel like a little fucking kid again, and not in a good way. Like all the time, I was talking about, oh, yeah, like, I always want to feel like a kid again, because it's like, children have so many wonderful qualities, and that the way they look at the world with their wide eyes, and they just want to keep learning, and how they're most often just smiling just because everything's so brand new and so exciting to them. That's the kind of kid I want to be like again. I don't want to be like the kid who can't make their own sandwich, who can't get to the store, who can't put her own like roof over his own head. Like, I don't want to be that kind of kid, and that's the kind of kid I am right now. Like when I couldn't put on my own socks and shoes, I felt so small and just so like worthless, and it hurt. That hurt almost as much as the pain, because nothing hurts as much as the pain. The pain is the worst, but having the feeling of just like worthlessness and just helplessness is so much, and it hurts because it doesn't just hurt. What doesn't really hurt you on the outside, it hurts on the inside. And hurting on the inside, whether it be like in your heart or your brain, that's where true pain has felt. You know, there's the common expression of the, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's fucking bullshit. Because words hurt more than sticks and stones. Like, that's just like a way to, you know, set yourself up and be like, well, I'm not going to let, you know, other people affect me because I'm strong. You know, I'm like a fortress. You can't, you know, get in here and everything like that. But in reality, that's the things, those are the things that hurt the most. The feelings and emotions and your thoughts and action, you know what, all that kind of psychological stuff hurts so much more than anything else. So, I'm going to continue this when I head off to my doctor's appointment this afternoon. But for the time being, this is not as painful episode as I am. I'm actually feeling a little bit better today, but I'm still hurting. And as you could probably tell from the inflection of my voice, I'm hurting inside and out. So we'll talk to you in a couple hours. All right, so now we have the return trip on the drive to stay alive. And couple things I was just thinking about. And I guess the first one is this. It's like, I think this is the first time that this name of the podcast and the whole purpose, I guess, of this podcast is kind of took on a real, like, literal kind of meaning, where it's like, before it was all psychological. It was all about finding a purpose in life, and it was all about, you know, just looking at those kind of aspects of it. Well, all that's kind of changed now, at least in this last week, because how I'm feeling right now and all this shit I'm going through with my back is not a way to live. I can't imagine anybody trying to live their life in chronic pain or just like a constant struggle, just every day just dealing with something that's just insurmountable to deal with, I guess. I mean, so as I'm right now driving up to go to a doctor, I'm literally making a drive to stay alive right now, because I need to find a different way to live other than what I'm doing right now, because what I'm doing right now just isn't helping me to survive. And it's weird that this kind of changed from like a personal, not personal, but like more like psychological or mental approach to this whole idea of trying to stay alive to now a more physical, I guess, way of looking at it. And in the past, I have brought up many things about physical aspects, such as getting in better shape or just changing my appearance and, you know, all the kind of things like that. But never, like, yeah, granted, me being fat, it's not sugarcoated. Well, I sugarcoated, I'd probably like it too much because I'd eat it and be like, ah, sugar, nom, 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 nom. You know, but not to sugarcoat it, I guess. But like, yeah, my physical, I guess, build and everything is not very, I guess, conducive to me living a normal, healthy life and staying alive for very long. So I definitely need to work on that and fix that. But it's kind of more of the fact that I have been focusing on more of the mental aspect of my life, because I know, and I know I've brought this up before, is the fact that, like, if I've mentally checked out, or if I don't have a purpose in my life as far as, like, in my heart or in my mind goes, then what's the point of being in physical, good physical shape if I don't have a reason to live? If you don't have a reason to live, if you don't have something that you're shooting for, something that keeps you, like, you know, waking up every day to, like, embrace another, like, day of life on this planet, if you don't have a reason to do that, then what the fuck does it matter if you're in shape, or if you have two, you know, good working legs, or if, you know, your back is normal, healthy position? Like, at that point, what the fuck does it matter? Because if you don't feel like living, you don't feel like changing everything around you. And so, yeah, I still don't have an answer as to why I should still be alive. But I think I've at least come to a conclusion that my drive to stay alive is to keep having a drive to stay alive. Like, to never be satisfied with where I am in my life, or to never be, like, have an answer, I guess. I should always go on out living each day, experiencing new things, trying to figure things out, just always trying to, like, do something new and do something exciting and do something fun. And I think that's my drive. So we kind of got that ironed out. But now, and the thing that bothers me, right? So at Afterglow, I'm not in the best physical shape. And so Afterglow kind of kicked my ass as far as just like, you know, being outside every day, walking around, swimming, being active, like just being, you know, like being like a normal human being, I guess, instead of just closed up inside a house or like inside a workplace like I normally am, like just actually a fully functioning member of planet Earth. And so when I got home from Afterglow, I vowed that I'd get back to working at the gym and starting to, you know, get into better shape just so I can be at better ease for like moving around. Just even got to the point where it's like just sitting in a chair is just, it hurts because I can't just sit around and everything like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if this issue with my back had something to do with the fact that I'm overweight, that I'm just in such poor physical health that things on me are starting to break down. And I know I've brought this up before too on here, but the fact that I at one point during this year, when I've been recording this podcast, I was surprised that I haven't had any kind of major issues. I haven't had like any like heart related issues. I haven't had any knee issues or anything like that. But I think this might be the first sign that shit's starting to go wrong with me. And that's scary. I mean, like, human beings, we like to think that we're, like, infallible. We like to think we're immortal, and we just, well, you know, yeah, that happened to somebody else, but that's not going to happen to me. I'm in control of my life. I'm in control of my destiny and all that kind of shit and everything. And things do go wrong. And it's just kind of like you do realize at some point that you are mortal. That, like, death and injury, like, I've never been in the hospital for anything. I've never had any kind of surgery. And I've had stitches and everything that bad. It's just like falling over, like hurting yourself, and you get it stitched up and you're on your way. But I've never had anything major that's caused you to just be like, whoa, take a step back and just be like, I don't think I can do this. Like, or like just have something, some kind of a scare. And I think that's what this is. I think this is something telling me that just kind of like, dude, you can't keep living like this. You keep living this like this, you're going to get like, shit's going to happen to you. And that's like, so at Afterglow, I had that kind of feeling that I was just kind of like, I can't live my life. Because even then, technically, I guess I was having back issues up at Afterglow, because I remember we did morning stretch on KK/dance party. And I remember like there's days where it's like I needed to go up there and stretch out just because my body was just so sore that I'm like, dude, I don't just like want to go up there and stretch out and goof around and dance and everything. My body needs this. Like after all the rough things I put it through during a course of a day at Afterglow, my body needs to go out and I need to work it out. So, dude, if I'm just starting to feel the repercussions of not taking care of my body, I'm in trouble, man. Because if this is the worst pain or the worst thing that's ever happened to me, it's about to get a whole lot worse than this. This is only the beginning. This is only the beginning of like what the hell is gonna happen to me next. And that's scary, man. That's really fucked up. Like I'm just too fucking young to be going through this kind of shit. And I know what happens. Like, some people can be in tip-top physical shape, can die when they're 23 years old of a heart attack because of something inside them that's just wrong. So I know shit can happen. But we also do have a good amount of control over that shit happening or not. Like right now, like I can't tell you when my day is going to be, when my time is going to be, like when I'm supposed to leave this earth. No idea. And I can't prevent it. I can't really prolong it. That's not up to me. It's up to God. But what I can do is I can make the time that I do have here, I can make it more comfortable. I can allow myself to do better things, to do greater things, to move around with ease, to not be in pain for the most part. So I think it's just time to stop bullshitting with my life. It's just, like I said, I can't live like this. However I'm feeling right now, I can't do this. I have to figure out a better way to live and survive. Because this is just, I'm in absolute agony. Just not being able to live. And that's like, I think I got an idea of what it's like. And not to say, and I'm in no way saying that like minor back soreness is comparable to chronic disease or cancer or like, you know, breaking a bone or, you know, just like, but I'm just saying like, this has given me an insight into what it's like to live not in control of your life. Like, I'm not saying I'm not anywhere near paralyzed. I could still do things. Like, if I want, I could jog around the block. It would hurt me like hell, and it would take a lot of strength and a lot of will to push myself to do something like this, and it would fucking hurt more than anything probably I've experienced in the last week. But I still could do it. Somebody without the use of their legs, somebody who's been paralyzed from the waist down, absolutely cannot do that. So I'm not even going to sit here and compare like what I'm going through to like what they're going through. But all I'm saying is that this has given me an idea of what it's like to live not in control of your life. Something else inside me right now, or like right now, my muscles in my back or my spine or my nerves or something is pretty much telling me what I can and cannot do. Like, I try to bend over to pick something up and it hurts and my body goes, nope, can't do that. I was like, really? It's like, yeah, man, sorry. Or I go to try to get up out of a couch. Or like the other night, I fell out of the couch. So I was trying to get up and I had no strength left. And I fell on the floor, and I was down on the floor for 45 minutes trying to push myself up, and I couldn't. Every time I'd try to push up, something in my body go like, no, pal, we don't have the strength to do that. Or something in my back would go, this hurts too much. And then inside, like, your nervous system or whatever like that, the whole reason we have that, when you have pain, your body, you know, stops you from going any further because it's like, look, we're getting hurt here, man. Don't do this. So over this last week and a half, something else has been running my life. Something else has been telling me, just like, I try to do something, it goes, whoa, pal, you can't do that. And it's been horrible. And like I say, I can't live the rest of my life like this. I absolutely cannot go on not being in control of my life, or at least being in control of this aspect of my life. So that's all of that, really. But the one last thing I wanted to touch on is the pain has been difficult during this time period, especially since none of the painkillers, I've had my own painkillers, I've had painkillers from my dad's wife, I've had painkillers from my mom that I've tried, I've had painkillers from a friend at work that I've tried. None of these have killed the pain. Nothing I've tried so far has, I guess, helped me to feel more relaxed, to not feel a constant stinging and agony. So this whole time, I've pretty much just had to deal with the pain. And it's good in a way, because it's like, people are like, oh yeah, you're walking better today. It's like, well, technically, you guess. But the reason I was walking so slow, like the last couple days and everything like that, is because I'm trying to walk pain-free. Now I'll start walking a little faster. I'll start, like, doing little things, because I'm just like, you know, fuck the pain. Like, I've had to deal with pain for 9 days, 10 days now, and I'm at the point where I'm just kind of like, I'm not going to let this pain hold me back. If I can't find something that will kill this pain, something that will help me, like, live with it, I'm just going to keep fucking just going, just regardless. And so I've had to just deal with it. And I've just, I guess, gotten better with dealing with the pain. So that's what it is. But like I say, the most difficult part about this whole process is living and just being exhausted and having no energy, having no strength, and what it's prevented me from being able to accomplish. Like, if I can push through the part where it hurts, okay, signaled first, asshole. Guy tries to fucking cut me off because I signaled and I'm trying to move to a different lane. He tries to fucking cut me off. It's like, dude, I looked over my shoulder. There's nobody in that fucking lane. I signaled and I start to move over and then you move over and speed up. What the fuck, man? Like, how about some fucking common courtesy? How about just like letting share the fucking road? So many fucking people are just so fucking just mean to each other and just not considerate of their fellow fucking human being. It's just like, dude, if you cut me off, you gonna get to your place faster? No. How many times do I got to review on here the fact that, like, it takes me 22 to 24 minutes every single morning, regardless of which way I take, get to work, and cutting somebody off or running a red light isn't gonna fucking change that time. It takes as much time as it takes to get from one place to another. So fucking riding my ass, cutting me off as I'm trying to turn the fucking lane is not gonna fucking save you. It's not gonna help you out at all. So what's the fucking point? All you're doing is endangering my life and endangering your own fucking life. Such fucking bullshit. Just sick and tired of this goddamn shit. And that's how it is. Like, when I fucking drive, like, granted, like, you know, I have all these, like, topics that come to mind, but then every now and then, I just get into a point where it's just kind of like, it is more than just my topics. The whole driving aspect of this, actually physically being inside of a car right now, and then just having shit happen to me, fucking changes everything. Like, I just got so angry with other human beings in this world who treat driving like the way they treat other people. All right, I'm sorry, I'm done with that. I just had to just let go for a minute. There's a lot of welled up frustration right now, obviously. And another thing I think that has to do with, like, when I was just talking about the exhaustion. How it's like, I'm so tired. I'm so just tired. I'm sick. I'm hurting. And I'm reaching a boiling point right now where I'm just like, I'm just so exhausted. And the fact that I just can't do anything. So many things I want to do. And I just get frustrated. I'm already frustrated in my life with having to work like a 9-to-5 job and just, you know, dealing with that kind of shit on a daily basis. That already frustrates me. The fact that I have to work for somebody else, can't do what I want, and then... okay. Can't do whatever I want and have to pretty much just put up with life, and then just kind of whenever I'm not busy, then I can do what I want to do with my life. So that already frustrates me. And then working a second job. Now, granted, I love my second job. I love the people I work with, but that takes away all the time that I'd want to, all the things I want to accomplish in my life. That gets in the way of that. And then you have this, where it's like, now there's so many things I would have been doing the last two, like, you know, last 10 days that I just can't do just because I'm just so incredibly tired. Got a friend last night, 30th birthday party. I couldn't go to it. I'm looking at it going, if I go out to this place and I go meet them there and like I'm going to have to stand. If I sit down, it's going to be in an uncomfortable chair, which is going to hurt my back. If I stand, I'm going to hurt. And even just the added driving from here to there just is just another thing that I just don't fucking need. The less time I can spend in the car, the better. Because when in a car, the way that you're sitting in there, you're just kind of cramped in, and there's really just no relief from that. Like, you're kind of just, the car pretty much tells you how you have to sit and where the brakes and the gas are and everything like that. So I guess I'm exhausted. I'm so fucking exhausted that I just don't know what to do anymore. And so I'm going to the doctor again tonight, like right now actually. I'm on my way there. I'm just hoping that there's some kind of answer. Or at least, if not an answer, just a point in the right direction going, hey, try this out. Be like, why am I so tired? I need something to tell me that everything's gonna be okay, like soon. Or not even soon, just that it's gonna be okay. That I was like, maybe not today. Maybe not next week, not next month, maybe not 3 months, but like, there is an end solution to this. There is a point in time when everything's going to be back to normal. So far, since I don't even know what's causing this pain, nobody's been able to tell me, like, what kind of timetable we're looking at. Or even if there is a fix to this. And so, I guess it's frustration, there's anger, there's sadness. I've been laughing a lot, just because I feel like laughter is the end of it. That it's like, when you're done being mad, when you're done crying, when you're done feeling sad, when you're done with being frustrated, when you're done being exhausted, laughter is really the only thing you have left. The only thing you have left to do is just sit back and just laugh and just be like, I have no idea why this is happening. You just laugh because you're just like, I don't get it. I'm so lost and so confused and so just fucking tired of everything that I just laugh. And it's kind of almost what stage I am in right now of just, I gotta laugh at this. Because I don't know what the fuck else to do. Alright, I'm tired of even talking right now because I know as soon as I get to this doctor, I'm gonna have to recount everything that's gone on with me in the last 10 days, and I'm sick of talking about it, sick of answering questions, I'm sick of trying to figure out everything, but that's what I have to do. So this is gonna close out this episode of The Drive to Stay Alive, and like I said, even though it's all this shit going on in my life, and you know, things are right now, it's not how I planned it out. I am nowhere near right now where I thought I'd be, where I hoped I would be. And everything seems real bleak right now. Until I find out what's causing this pain and how to remedy it, everything's gonna seem real shitty. And everything is going to seem pretty awful. But I just got to remind myself, no matter how bad everything gets, I'm still alive. I'm still here. And the ultimate worst thing that happens is you die. And granted, you're free of your pain, but then you're no longer able to create new memories and explore new things and to make new friends and to laugh and enjoy life and everything. So as bad as it is, as bad as it can be, I'm still alive. And as long as I'm still alive, I'm still here for another day to find my place in this world, to keep searching for a reason to be alive, to keep searching for answers, to seek out new opportunities, new adventures. So I'm still alive. And that's pretty much all I can say right now, as I'm still alive. Just keep driving, my friends. I hope to talk to you again very soon. Later.